The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackets with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle in Everything in the Garden.
When we first moved into the old manse at Stacton Trestle, the garden was an absolute wilderness. But Evadne worked wonders. She'd invested in a 50-gallon drum of weed killer. And all day long, she'd scythe and poison. Well, it wasn't very long before that garden changed from being a jungle to being just a wide-open space with not a thing growing in it. However, nature eventually recovered, and today, almost 30 years later, that garden is almost right. Almost, but not quite. As I noticed one afternoon when I was sitting in our drawing room looking out of the window. You know, Evadne, there's something missing in that garden there.
Yes, it's the air raid shelter. But if you wanted to keep it, you should have said so at the time. And not just sat there in your deck chair watching me demolish it.
No, dear, it's not that.
Well, the only other things that are missing are the summer house, which burned down, and the rose arch fell down.
What that garden lacks now is a feature. We need a gazebo or a ha-ha.
What do we need a ha-ha for?
Oh, I don't know. It just sounds fun.
Do you have any idea what a ha-ha is?
Well, not exactly, dear, no. But it's obviously something one has fun in a garden.
It's a ditch. A ditch? A ditch with a wall built up one of its sides. It's used to form a boundary.
Well, fancy calling a thing like that a ha-ha. There's nothing remotely amusing about ditches.
The expression was originally not one of amusement, Hilda, but one of surprise. Aha!
Don't do that, Evadne. You'll give yourself a migraine. Oh, now what about a folly? We could have a folly. Or an ivy-covered ruin, just to remind you of your father.
It's a pity I didn't leave the air raid shelter.
What about a maze?
Now, that's a good idea. You could go out and get lost in it.
That garden is so plebeian. It reflects your taste, not mine. I mean, just look at that bird bath. It looks exactly like an old washing-up bowl on a plinth.
It is an old washing-up bowl. And it's quite good enough for a bird to bath in.
We need something romantic, Evadne. Something flamboyant. Now, suppose we had a pagoda.
What?
A Rhoda had a pagoda.
Which Rhoda?
In the song there. Many a maiden met a man. In the pretty pagoda, Rhoda ran.
But that wasn't in her garden. It was in the Strand.
What's that got to do with it?
There's a tea shop. Buns and biscuits and bread of bread in the pretty pagoda road of Anne.
Well, they've got a pagoda at Kew Gardens, and that's not a tea shop. We could have one like that.
You don't think it'd be a bit large? I mean, it's 10 stories high, you know.
Well, at least it would hide the bird bath. And that blessed mint of yours. I say, have you got that Rhoda song there, by the way?
Yes, I think so. Somewhere. It's from Sam Toy, isn't it?
That's right, as Mari Tempest played the lead. Oh, dear old Nanton Ostrom. He used to stand in the wings night after night watching me, remember?
He was standing in the wings, Hilda, because he was waiting to make his entrance. He never knew how long you were going to be. yes, here it is. I've got it.
Goody. All right, then, Evadne, pop into your pagoda and play. Rhoda, I was a London mess, taking in trim and fighting. She wished to gather the upper class, the tea shop charming and shiny. She followed and beauty puffed and planned a proper good in Christmas friend, and dressed like a tiny girl at home, from her dainty shoes to her feet, back home. Rhoda, Rhoda, and a pagoda, selling tea and cinnamon soda, buns and biscuits and bread of green, in the pretty pagoda, Rhoda, red. A wealthy nobleman wandered in the Duke of Kensington Gardens. He chucked four waitresses under the chin, then giggled and asked their pardons. And Rhoda flirted and drew him on with her angel cakes and her sugar's gone. Until one day at his 14th cup, he fell at her feet and she picked him up. Rhoda, Rhoda, shut up a Rhoda. No more tea or coffee or soda. Never a milkman leaves his can in the pretty pagoda, Rhoda, then. Do you know, that song used to bring tears to Nunton's eyes in the old days.
Mm. Used to bring tears to mine as well. All that clowning about you used to shove in while you were singing it.
I was acting it out, dear. As you so rightly said, Rhoda is supposed to be running a tea shop.
I've never been in a tea shop where the proprietors did cartwheels.
Well, I have. It was Joe Lyons in Oxford Street, one New Year's Eve. We were all doing them. And then we went down to Trafalgar Square and paddled in the fountains. You know, that's what we need in the garden, Evadne. Fountains. Or a cascade.
How about a pond?
Not quite as romantic as I was thinking, but I suppose
they do sell some nice sink-it-yourself plastic ponds down at the garden centre.
Now you're getting tacky again.
Well, seriously, you can get some quite big, nicely shaped, ready-made ponds these days. And we could have a few water lilies.
Oh, yes, water lilies. And bulrushes and a weeping willow. And a mossy bank to lie. And the darting golden fish swimming just below the surface. And dragonflies. And perhaps a heron or two.
Not if you want to keep your darting golden fish, dear.
No, perhaps you're right. We'll have a boat instead, and I can lie in it, and then I can drift like the Lady of Shalott.
The Lady of Shalott was dead, Hilda.
She can't have been all the time.
She was when she was drifting.
Then I'll be Minnie Haha. I say, isn't that a funny name to give a woman? Small ditch.
I wonder if we have a source of water out in the garden anywhere.
There's a tap outside the kitchen.
No, I mean a natural source, Hilda. An underground stream, perhaps, or a spring. Have you ever tried dowsing, Hilda?
No, but I've done my fair share of damping down.
Dowsing, dear? Water divining?
No, I have not. I have always enjoyed the luxury of living on the mains.
I've got Mousy Butler's twig in the hall.
You didn't snap it off, I have.
His dowsing rod, Hilda. His hazel twig. He's a water diviner, you know.
No.
He was trying to teach me, but I appear to have no natural aptitude whatever. Perhaps you have?
Me? Oh, no, there. That's not my sort of thing at all. Marching across a muddy field with a twig in my hand. It's only one step away from following the plough.
No, you're probably right. Apparently a great deal depends on how sensitive you are.
Sensitive?
Yes. According to Mousy, the diviner is sensitive to influences that the average person wouldn't feel.
Well, I am certainly not average. I'm very sensitive.
We have a gift, you see.
And I'm definitely gifted.
A gift inherited from the mysterious past.
Is that me? Fetch your twig. I'll soon find you some water.
Very well.
We'll take it into the garden, shall we, dear?
No, not yet. There's a little experiment we can carry out indoors, sir.
Oh, of course, you would know all about it, wouldn't you, Evadne? Even though you can't do it.
Here we are.
Is that all it is?
That's all. It's a simple piece of forked twig, a rustic letter Y. But in the right hands, Hilda. Hilda, where are you going?
To get a pair of gloves, dear.
You do not need gloves.
Well, at least let me take my rings off.
No, that would take far too long. Now, hold your hands out. Palms upwards, that's it. Then you see I place one arm of the Y on each palm. Now grasp the twig tightly. Thumbs over the top, that's right. And now, force the arms of that twig apart.
There.
Wider than that.
Very well, then.
There. No, no, wider, much wider.
Are you sure you wouldn't prefer to see me tear a telephone directory?
Oh, don't make such a fuss, Hilda. It's a hazel twig, not an iron bar. Now, come on. Force those arms right apart. All right, that'll do, that'll do. Need to break it.
I thought you said one needed to be sensitive, Evadne. This is about as sensitive as chariot racing.
Just hold your horses, Hilda. The sensitive part's coming up. Now, maintain that tension, but don't hold the twig so tightly that it can't move. That point must be sort of free to waggle up and down.
Can we get on with it, Evadne? My little finger's going to sleep.
Right, turn your back and close your eyes.
Why? What are you going to do?
No, go on. Turn your back, close your eyes. That's it. Now, I'm going to take the flowers out of this vase and hide the vase of water under something. Then we'll see if you can find it.
With my eyes closed.
With your twig, dear. Right. Now, you can turn around and open your eyes again. Now, where does the vase of water?
I don't know.
The twig will tell you.
The twig's not telling me a thing, dear. Shouldn't this thing be pointing me in the right direction or something?
It's not an automatic pilot, Hilda. You have to work it well. Now, start walking. No, slowly. That's it. Up and down the room. Pretend you're looking for one of the pearls from your butterfly headdress.
Very well. Am I getting warm?
I'm not telling you.
Am I getting colder, then?
No, I'm not telling you that, either. From now on, it's between you and that twig. Just keep on walking.
You make me sound like Felix the Cat. Evadne, my pointer's waggling. It shot right up.
I say, you are a sensitive little soul, aren't you? Now we just push the settee back, and what do we find? One vase of water.
Very badly, what did I tell you? I am sensitive to influences that pass the average person by. Oh, that sounds like Maud. I bet she'd like to see me find that vase of water.
I'm picking that vase of water up before she finds it with her foot.
Good morning, Dame Elder.
Doctor.
Hello, Maud, dear.
Good morning, Maud.
Did you have a nice holiday, dear?
Well, I did and I didn't, Dame Elder. To tell the truth, I'd have been home before now, had it not been for my Arthur.
Oh, he was enjoying himself, was he?
No, we weren't. But it took us a while to raise the money for his fine, and they'd not let him out till we had.
His fine, Maud? What had he been up to?
He was sticking up for me, Doctor.
And he deserves everything he got.
What exactly happened there?
Oh, it was such a shame, Dame Elder. It was the only dry day we had all the while we was there. So I takes the beach ball and we go to the beach. And I hands the ball to Arthur. Here, throw it, says I. Throw it where, says he.
Yes, he's never been quick on the uptake.
Throw it to me, says I, and I'll throw it back to you. That won't be much fun, says he. I come here for a holiday. We can throw things at each other at home. So I grabs the beach ball out of his hand and I chucks it at his head.
How skittish.
And he chucks it straight back at mine. But I ducks Day Milder. And you'll never guess where that ball went.
I wouldn't dream of trying to, no.
It sailed right in through the opening of the Punch and Judy man's tent. Just as his dog were about to eat his sausage.
Well, very inconvenient for him.
Well, you should have heard him shout.
What did he shout, Maud? Go?
No, he did not, Doctor. I'll not repeat what he shouted. I'm too much of a lady. Nor I'd not show you the gesture that Punch made, neither.
I say, Sheerness does sound lively at this time of the year.
So he marches right up to that man's tent. Excuse me, says I, shouting down his own. Can I have my ball back? And Punch hits me on the head with his stick.
How very unfair that Punch should be permitted a pleasure this night to the rest of us.
So I hits him on the head with me handbag, and there's a horrible squawk, and he vanishes. I think I had his nose off.
I'm not surprised. Your handbag could fell an ox.
Well, I was fuming. So I reaches in his booth, and that's when the alligator grabs me hand. And all them little rats as was sitting watching us was howling fit to bust.
Oh, but they love a bit of audience participation, don't they?
They probably thought you was his stooge.
Well, they not have thought that for long, Doctor. Because I grabs the hand that was up his alligator. And I gives it a good hard tug. And the old darn shooting match tips over. And that's when Arthur interferes.
He knows how to choose his moment, doesn't he?
He marches up and he looks at them puppets as he's scattered all over the sand. And one by one he picks them up and chucks them in the sea. And when that puppet man goes for him, he chucks him in and all. And that's when he spots our beach ball rolling towards the water. Well, I can only describe the way as he went for that ball as a flying tackle. And it were just a shame that that policeman had to interpose himself.
It's one of their more irritating habits, isn't it?
You should have seen my Arthur's face. Well, he thought it were the beach ball he were grabbing. But it weren't. It were a bit of blue serge trouser leg instead. Anyway, that's why we had to pay the fine.
Well, it certainly seems to have been a holiday to remember.
It was just the same as we didn't have better weather.
Still, look on the bright side there. It might be lovely and sunny next time you go.
We'll not be going back, Dame Milder. The magistrate ordered us not to.
Well, it wasn't long before Maud was out in the kitchen and back at work again. It was just like old times to hear her out there banging about and dropping things. And it wasn't long before Evadne and I were out in the back garden dousing for water. With my flowered sun hat and my twig, I must have looked a bit like one of W.S. Gilbert's young ladies from Patience. All very willy-willy-waly. Oh, but Evadne with her gumboots and her pick and shovel, she looked like some old panhandler prospecting for gold. Well, after some little time, we found ourselves right down the bottom of the garden when suddenly my twig twitched and Evadne started digging. How far down do you have to go, Evadne?
Oh, I don't know. Well, according to Mousy, one may find water at any depth, from just under the surface to several hundred feet down.
Well, what would be the point of having a pond several hundred feet down?
Well, not at all, really. Unless you wanted a very sunken garden.
Oh, I see Major Durrenforth coming from the house. Maud must have let him through. You know he could build our bridge for us, Evadne.
What bridge?
Well, if we find a stream, we'll need a bridge, won't we? A little rustic bridge. Major Durrenforth used to build them in the army.
Oh, yes. Little rustic bridges over the Rhine.
Yeah. Good morning, ladies.
Hello, Major.
Good morning, Major.
Can I be of any assistance?
Evadne's digging for water, dear.
Not being cut off, have you?
Natural water, Major. An underground stream or spring.
Ah, I'm with you. Do you know we have a natural spring in the kitchen at home?
Oh, I say, that's handy.
Not really. It comes up in the larder. We tried everything to seal it off, but it always bursts through again. One thing, we don't get mice in there.
What do you get there, water virus?
You should grow a watercress, Major.
At one time, we thought of bottling it.
Wouldn't it be difficult getting watercress into a bottle?
You know, I'm not surprised you're Twicky's pointing upwards, Hilda. You sound as though you've got water on the brain.
Get on with your digging, Evadne. I want to go out and order the goldfish.
You know, Hilda, I often come home of an evening to find Lorna lying on the larder floor having a little drink.
Oh, I am sorry, Ned. How long has she been like that?
From the spring, Hilda. A little drink from the spring. The water tastes absolutely beautiful, full of iron.
Well, I expect ours will be full of iron, dear. It's somewhere round about here that Evadne buried her old bicycle. It was a penny farthing, you know.
Ah! I found something.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound like water, dear.
Not unless it's buried in jerry cans.
You must be off course, Evadne. After all, if what you found is what I found for you, it should have splashed, not clanged.
Not necessarily. You can find almost anything with a dowsing rod. This is large, it's metallic, and it's grey.
Ooh, perhaps I've found a secret submarine pen.
I say, you happened to read a while back about that fellow in the Midlands who found an unexploded bomb in his garden?
No, dear.
Oh, yes, extraordinary fellow. He took the mattress off his bed, shoved the bomb inside it, tied it round with a length of clearance line, got it on his wheelbarrow, God alone knows how, and pushed it all the way to the police station, best part of a mile. And you know they wouldn't have anything to do with it, just because it happened to be April the 1st. They thought it was a joke, you see. So he pushed it all the way home again, put it back in its hole, and got his wife to phone them. And then they sent someone round.
Well, some of them are sticklers for the correct procedure, aren't they?
Mine, it was too late by then. It had gone up. Lost a double mattress and all his leaks.
Evadne, dear, I think you'd better come out of that peril, just in case. We'll put a dustbin lid over it and keep the cats off, and then we'll phone the bomb disposal people.
There's a sign of some sort.
Is it a swastika?
It looks, Looked like a star.
Must be Russian.
The Russians were on our side during the war, Hilda.
Yes, but they were never entirely to be trusted, were they?
Nevertheless, Hilda, as far as I know, there's no record of them ever having bombs stacked and trestled.
Do come out of there, Evadne, please.
Stop fussing, Hilda. I can just make out some letters on it. This isn't a bomb.
Well, if they say this isn't a bomb, it's probably a trick.
No, it's a word of some sort. It begins with an S.
Saarbrücken. That must have been where it was made.
No. S-H-A-N...
Shantung. Whose side was China on?
S-H-A-N... K... S... Shanks.
Shanks? I fancy they make baths.
Well, why should the Germans have dropped baths?
Why, indeed. There couldn't have been too many people in Stacton Trestle that time would know what to do with one, anyway.
Exactly. If that's a bath, you'll probably find it's full of coal, dear. I expect they buried it to prevent pilfering.
That's definitely what it is, Major. An old cast-iron bath laid upside down. Look, there are the feet.
I say, it looks rather a pretty one. If you'd like to step out of there, Evadne, I'll give you a hand to pull it out.
Oh, you ready? 1, 2, 3, heave!
It's not moving, Evadne.
Hilda, are you just going to stand there watching?
Well, if you prefer it, dear, I'll go indoors.
Ah, here comes Maud. She'll give it a bit of extra muscle power.
Have you found your water yet, Dame Hilda?
Well, not yet, dear, no. But we must be getting warm. We found the bath. Give them a hand to fetch it out, would you, dear? They're stuck.
Stuck? No wonder they're stuck. That leg's trapped under that rock. I'll soon shift it with the pickaxe.
Now, do be careful, Maud.
Yes, we don't want you doing yourself an injury.
I would stand aside, Major, if I were you, in case she does you one.
Right. Here goes.
Mm-hmm.
enough to provide us with a lift.
I don't doubt it, Hilda. But I don't think it'll be allowed. What Maud has found is the pipe that used to run to the old summer house. And the water board will want heavily to repair it.
Maud, dear, while we're deciding what to do next year, pop in and get three umbrellas, won't you?
Of course.
Oh, and Maud?
Yes, Doctor?
Welcome back, dear.
That was Everything in the Garden, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guest, Anthony Sharp, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dias.